Jokic behind his back. What a take by Jokic.
That's your sitter. Wow.
Gentlemen, to the Pickaxe Pundit Show. You are listening to Nothing But Net Radio. I am Zach Mikosh with DenverStiffs.com. It is about 4 p.m. Mountain Time on a beautiful Saturday here in Denver. At least I am in Denver. However, I am the only member of the show today enjoying the weather down in Denver. Our co-hosts are located further to the east from the first. We have all the way in Dallas, Mr. Evan Fiala. Evan, what's going on, man?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you guys?
Well, you know, can't complain. And then also with us is Mr. Jeremy Poley, all the way out in Philadelphia. Jeremy, what's up?
My back is what's up. It hurts. I had the heaviest snow in the world to shovel yesterday, and I shoveled, and my mother-in-law is like, she's born South Philly all her life, spent her time here, so a little kid from Colorado coming out, she's like, oh, like, take it easy, you're frail, you know, you can't take this stuff. And I was like, come on, what are you talking about? I can do this. And then last night my back goes out on me because I worked too hard for this little body, and I've been in pain ever since. This is my Philly story. It's like the opposite of Fresh Prince in Bel-Air. I'm like the boring punk from Colorado.
Oh, no, it's all right. I feel you. No, I too am dealing with some back issues, but I don't have nearly as good of a story. I was just like kind of like, you know, twisting one day, and it just kind of twisted the wrong way. Oh man, it still has been bugging me, and it makes me feel old. It's like, you know, I'm like, now I'm gonna start to have like kind of like have to hunch over. Maybe I might grow a hump on my back.
You gotta watch out when you twist.
Watch out for those twists, man. They'll get you.
Exactly, it's a young man's stance.
That's right. I probably wasn't hydrated enough. That's what my grandmother would have told me
for the twist.
Anyways, we are not a medical. We are not a medical podcast. Unfortunately, none of us are qualified for that. We are, however, not qualified to talk about basketball, but we do it anyways. And we are. It's what we are here to do on the Pickaxe Pundit Show, specifically talking about the Denver Nuggets. And if it's your first time listening to the show, we talk about them every Saturday. Not last Saturday. Last Saturday, I went to Mexico, so we just didn't have a show. Unfortunately, that's just how it goes. But we are back. We are back this week, and a big week. We're going to get into that. We're going to that Lakers game from last night. The Nuggets, of course, they end up getting the win down the stretch. Maybe a little bit closer than we would have preferred. But we'll talk about that. And then obviously now Jokic and Nikola Jokic and Paul Millsap have been playing together for a handful of games now, almost about a half dozen. They finally kind of had a game where they both played really well last night against the Lakers. So I want to talk about them specifically. Then we're gonna go ahead after our break. I want to look forward to the playoffs. We basically have been doing it every week, and we're gonna continue this time. I got Jeremy and Evan on, so I want to talk about maybe what can the Nuggets still win their division, and or are we just gonna be happy if they get in? And then finally, in the spirit of just like we did on the last show, we're gonna end. If we get some time, we'll play a little game. This time, we'll do some NBA playoff trivia. We'll see what Evan and Jeremy know when it comes to not only the Denver Nuggets, but the NBA playoffs in general. And that will be the show. Are you guys ready? How would you consider yourselves NBA playoff experts?
Absolutely.
I like the confidence.
I'm going to go with a no.
and then the no confidence.
From Evan. We'll see. It depends how far back you go.
There it is. I know, that's right. Evan's the youngest, so he might be at a small disadvantage here. It's all right. I think you'll do fine. All right, though. Let's get into that Lakers game from last night. The Nuggets, of course, they were coming in. They had a two-game losing streak. And while the Lakers have been are obviously a lottery-bound team, they're not in the playoff hunt. They have played very well as of late. And actually, I think they were something like 6-1 since the All-Star break. Nuggets end up winning the game 125-116. Particularly played well in the fourth quarter, outscored the Lakers by 11, and that basically powered them to the win. Evan, I'll go to you first, man. How big is it to get this win, even though it is the Lakers?
It's huge. We're at the point of the season where every game is a must win, given the Nuggets' current record. They're still, a fringe playoff team, and especially dropping games earlier this week. The one in Dallas was particularly, a tough loss. And going into, they've got one or two more games, and then that huge road trip coming up. Really, every game is a must win from here on out. So even getting this one, you can say, oh, it was the Lakers. But, the Lakers have been playing well as of late, too. Just the fact they pulled it off, really, it gave me a boost of confidence in the team.
Right. I would say, it's almost like it's one of those wins that, even though it's the Lakers, and you like I said, they're a team who's not going to be in the playoffs this season. You almost feel like that if they lose that game, especially because it's at home, it really kind of puts the team in a downward, not even maybe in a spiral, but just in a real bad funk. Now on that three-game losing streak, and a game that losing another game that they should have got, just like the Dallas game, which was one that they let get away from them that they needed. I tend to agree. It's funny because we say all these games are must wins at this point, and to a certain point they are. But obviously we don't expect the Nuggets to go undefeated down the stretch. And if they did, they would be great. They would be the three seed easily. But it's the games like against the teams that are not their playoff competitors. Like, you have to cash those wins in because you're gonna play some very talented teams who are right at the very end of the season, who are right there in the thick of the race, and you might not be able to win all those. So you want to build as much of a cushion as you possibly can by cashing in these wins against the Lakers, against the Kings, like we'll see here on Sunday. So it's a big one for me, and more so just because it would have been far worse if they had lost. They take care of business, and now they can move on. So maybe more of a bullet dodge than anything. Jeremy, what about you, man? How big do you think this win is?
Big. Big win, man. And I don't think it's even necessarily big because of needing the wins. I don't think it's big because of stats or who we were playing against. To me, it answered some of the most important questions that we have right now. Not all of them, but some of these big ones that have been hanging around. Tonight, I feel like we got at least the short version of it. We'll see if it can hang. But what I saw towards the end of the game there, you could almost even break down a season in terms of how long a question goes for. You can make yourself like a little line chart and see, does this question go the entire season and they're never able to figure it out? Do they make a statement here and they carry it for this long? Well, in terms of that, tonight might be, and I mean the fourth quarter, might be a statement or a question that's put to rest that can carry us into the playoffs pretty strongly. So I'm psyched about seen something that I've been worried about kind of come together.
Right.
I
was just saying, it's a great point because, what's interesting is down the stretch of this game, I'm trying to think, who really stood out, and it was almost a collective effort. Paul Millsap had the big, big three-pointer at just kind of like he did against, against Memphis, the same kind of thing right down the stretch where that was really the dagger in their hearts, but it's They closed this game out when they needed to, and they took care of business, and that's something that we maybe necessarily haven't seen them do as much this year. And when they've gotten into these situations in the past, and especially last year, they would tend to crumble down the stretch. I mean, we saw it at the beginning of the season against Utah, right? They had that they had a big lead, and then they ended up crumbling down the stretch. We saw it in games just as recently this week. So for them to get over that hump tonight, I think is a big part of it as well. Let me ask you this though, Jeremy. We've had Paul Millsap back for like six games, I think, right? And once again, the Nuggets give up. I mean, they give up 116 points to the Lakers. And don't get me wrong, Millsap had some great plays down the stretch, particularly that one block on Lonzo Ball with that on that trying to scoop layup over him didn't work. But let me ask this, Jeremy. Like, I mean, what do you think is the reason that they're still struggling on defense, even with Millsap back?
That's a tough one, because the answer that I have for you would kind of be diluted with the early season defense that we saw.
Right.
I mean, we weren't a perfect team to start the year out, but to start the season out. But Jokic was, you know, up for defensive center of the season. We had some early success that we saw and largely due to Millsap and the way that they were gelling on defense, even if they weren't gelling on offense. So still my answer, the reason why that kind of dilutes my answer is because my answer is, I wish I had the true answer, but the scheme that we're playing, and tonight was a great example of it. And I'll get into that in a second, but the scheme that we're playing and the people that we've locked in to perform this scheme I feel like there needs to be an adjustment there, but
right.
Why I'm going to take a step back is because tonight I thought so the scheme, to get a little bit more detailed, is basically Malone's concept is don't give up the points in the paint, don't give up those high percentage field goals. We can take a few threes if we're pushing them out, if we're forcing them into bad shots, we can deal with that. And that's an interesting predicament because the way that the NBA is played right now, and this is so new. We're talking 3 or 4 years since really the strong surging of the Warriors and Houston, is that paradigm might already be a classic paradigm that does not work in today's NBA.
Right.
Letting guys shoot freely from the 3-point line is these days asking for defeat because they're so talented. They're so good at it. The younger generation have caught up so fast to finding out what the exploit is in the rules of the NBA that maybe this scheme isn't one to go with. And so tonight was interesting to me because we saw the Lakers play all over the paint. This was kind of like me going like, good, we're still going to win the game by proving Malone wrong, and they can get all the points in the paint they want as long as we keep off the 3-point line. And you know what? We weren't really getting ahead that way. So right. I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
Jeremy has been humbled
by
the Lakers.
I don't know.
I think you touched on some interesting points there, which is especially that, yeah, that kind of sort of let them take some – we'll give up the three-pointer as long as we don't really allow any penetration and keep – limit the shots at the basket. You're right. That doesn't work as much anymore with the NBA. The other thing, too, that the teams can exploit is just Nikola Jokic, and particularly in the pick and roll.
Right.
He's going to struggle there, and I think we see that a lot because the Nuggets, Gary Harris and Jamal Murray they're all right, but they do their best to try and fight over those screens, but they still end up going under them too often, or like we saw against the Cavs, they just get held, and then and then end up giving up open shots that way as well. So it's I think a combination of things of that, and the philosophy maybe, but also just their personnel is not suited, because you have Millsap, who which is a great part, and he gives you a lot in terms of, especially he can handle the players who are good in the post. He can go up against a guy like Julius Randle, for example, here against the Lakers. Whereas Nikola Jokic is not going to do that. I mean, we saw Nikola Jokic, he struggled with Brook Lopez tonight, or last night. Sorry, I mean, Brook had, 29 points? So, yeah. Brook Lopez had 29 points. Jeez. I just think it's a combination of things, and it's, you know, it's tough because you want Millsap to help, and you want the Nuggets to get better on defense, because I really do think they're going to have to be a better defensive team if they want to have success in the playoffs. But right now, I just don't know if they can win that way. Right now, I just think they kind of almost have to just win the way, you know, win the way that they've almost the Nuggets in general have been trying to win since the 80s, which is that up-tempo, free kind of basketball, and just try and outscore teams 125-116 like we saw. Evan, I mean, what do you think, man? Is it more the scheme that's making it so their defense still isn't working, or do you think it's personnel?
I think it's a bit of both. Tonight, for example, you know, Jeremy, as you were saying, kind of that the you know the scheme is to let them have the three pointers and whatnot. But you know, LA obviously took advantage of that. They were able to, you know, Brook Lopez was able to, and Randall were able to kind of do whatever they wanted down low. And Caldwell Pope had 5 3-pointers.
Right.
It's and that kind of like kept them in it. So I think it's a combination of, you know, poor rotating, not being in the right place. Personnel is a huge issue as well. A lot of these guys just aren't defensive players. Like, our guards really struggle at containment. Having Millsap back is a nice buffer because he does fill more space in the paint that, you know, when Jokic gets caught in a pick and roll or whatever, or someone gets beat, you know, he's there and he's smart enough to be in the right spot. But one man isn't enough to make up that difference. And I think a lot of the issues are is just, you know, trying to force something that's not there. And like you were saying, Zach, I'm totally on board. They need to win games by outscoring the opponent. They just need to go back to their offense. Losing Millsap for half the year didn't really help in that regard, and, you know, helping them coexist as a defensive team. Certainly not as much as Malone would have wanted, but I think for this year they need to make the playoffs. They just need to do it the best way they can, and then kind of count this as a lost year on defense and worry about that later.
Right. Yeah, I'm with you 100% on that. I mean, we'll get into this here into a bit, but you know, I think the main goal obviously is just getting into the postseason, and I think you do this. So you do it any way you can, and for the Nuggets, it seems to be the best way for them is just trying to outscore opponents. But I know that guy that really just grinds on Coach, because that's just not the way he is. All right, so I want to talk a little bit more about Jokic and Millsap in particular, because they had a good game against the Lakers. We saw, you know, Jokic had, he had 21 points, 6 assists, 6 rebounds, so pretty, just kind of like a standard, you know, good game from Jokic. And then Paul Millsap had 21 points and 6 rebounds of his own, and then a couple of big blocks as well, and certainly had, you know, some impactful individual plays on defense, so a good all-around game him. But up until that point, it seems like we really had not seen these two click, and Jokic in particular was struggling. There's been a lot of talk, you know, is he deferring too much? Well, Coach wants him to be more aggressive, and he, you know, Paul's saying, you know, he's got to know that he's the guy, and we run it through him, and so on and so forth. I guess, Jeremy, let me ask you, man. I mean, is it? Do you think maybe there was almost a mistake made by making Paul Millsap the big free agent signing because maybe he doesn't fit as well as we had hoped, or is there hope for these two guys to be able to coexist and be a powerful duo in the front court?
I mean, to the first part of the question, as to the free agency signing, I think that was like probably the biggest signing in the Nuggets history. I think it shows a good vibe. We're never able to even get meetings with people like Paul Millsap. So, and we had the money to spend. So, I mean, purely from a roster viewpoint, I think, it makes complete sense. And I think we were really fortunate to get it. As far as, chemistry goes, I'm so not even near approaching whether or not this is a failed experiment. And tonight, if we could make it very, base things off of very small sample sizes, tonight, even specifically one play, talking about the chemistry, at one point, Millsap goes up and he blocks, I think it was Randolph, blocks it. Jokic goes up and gets the ball after the block, passes it to Millsap. Millsap takes it down the court, finds Jokic for a layup. Like, that was just the most beautiful combination of the defense that you hope to get out of that. Jokic's rebounding, both of them as playmakers, and Jokic, even as a scorer, they're both scorers. He's not
right.
A lot of people like to, I think, his scoring is over exaggerated and under exaggerated. Some people think that he should just facilitate the ball. Other people think he should be putting up 50 points a night. I think he's somewhere in between, but no, I think, what we're seeing, I feel like the past few games, I wish I was trying to remember which game it was where this really stood out, but Millsap going to the 3-point line and playing more like a wing, kind of what we're used to with, the way Lyles has played. The reason why it stood out was because, Wilson came in, I'm glad you brought that up, more at the baseline, like where the four would play. And it was really interesting because it was working pretty well. Millsap stretching the floor and Chandler doing something that he's actually pretty good at, as a dunker spot. And so looking at Millsap more of a three on the offense by drifting him out there and opening up more space, rather than they started the season and he was kind of more down by the shoulder in the post, and they were kind of double posting it with him and Jokic. And I'm seeing a lot of chemistry, and that's why I was so excited. When they came back, I don't know what they said, whether it was the break at the end of the third or whether it was something on the bench after they all went to the bench. But when they came back in the fourth, man, like, Jokic was so fired up, more than I've seen in a long time. He grabbed Millsap and was like yelling in his ear. Like, it was pretty crazy to see, which is kind of cool. At the same time, like, Jokic, like, go ahead and open up a little bit. So, I don't know. I the end of this game really made me appreciate the potential here. And the past couple of games, from a strategy standpoint, seeing what they're doing on offense, I think there's a lot more potential there. I think the system is in place. I think they just need to fine tune it.
Right. One of the things I think they need to fine tune about is they really do need to stop with the Millsap, the isolation post plays, man. Those are, I noticed it in particular against the Lakers. It just, every time they went to that, it didn't work. I mean, and they would just completely clear out and give him that one-on-one matchup. And I give credit, I guess, to the Lakers. They play tough defense. Julius Randle played tough one-on-one defense. They never seemed to generate a good look out of that. And it was something I think in particular that they need to take out of their offense. And then otherwise, yeah, I mean, I think they can coexist. I think you can use him if you use Millsap as more of a floor stretching kind of guy, or just use him in a pure off ball role, kind of like that Kenneth Fareed role, the role that Mason Plumlee seems to be really adapting to well right now. Then I think he works just fine. But when they try and, you know, kind of like, okay, we got to get Jokic going. Now we got to get Paul going. Now we got to, you know, go back and forth. When they really make a focused effort just on like getting him isolation plays, it doesn't help. Evan, what do you think, man? Is it, a matter of just these guys will just need a little more time to get this figured out and they'll be fine? Or do you think there's more, there's something like deeper here that could be just like an issue with them as a match in general?
I think it'll just come with time for sure. We saw, you know, towards the beginning of the year before Millsap got hurt, things were kind of coming together. It was definitely shaky at the beginning of the season, but I feel like we were getting to a point where we could kind of see the potential it had. And then, of course, right. He misses 44 games, and it completely derails everything. But even just in these last 5 or 6 games since Millsap's been back, you've seen glimpses of it. The Lakers game being the best example, obviously, of how they can coexist. But really, you know, it depends on how the offense is going to be coached. If they're going to call Millsap ISO plays, which is not the best usage of any of the players on this team, given, you know, the guys surrounding him in the starting lineup.
Right.
Then no, it's not going to work in the long run. It's just not going to. But if they can actually adapt to that free-flowing offense, and both of you already just, you know, said it and nailed it right on the head, then yeah, there's no reason why it shouldn't be able to. And having him there to kind of bolster the defense as well is really what he was brought in for.
Right.
And it's like mind-blowing to me how people can already be questioning like the validity of that when they've played, how many games have they played together? Like 20 maybe, if that.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's like it would be a completely different scenario if he had never gotten hurt and
right.
They were still having these issues, but they're not, so...
Right, exactly. Yeah, I think that's a really great point. It's like they really have barely played together still at this point. So it's there's still some kind of this kind of feeling it out position. Let me go back to Evan on this because I mean they've got now 16 games left on the schedule. Is there enough time, given that Jokic and Millsap have only played 20 or so games with each other, is there enough time for them to get it figured out before the playoffs start? Or will they lose enough games trying to figure it out that it ends up knocking them out of the playoffs?
I mean, I guess it depends on what your definition of figuring it out is, I guess. Because, like, I think they should definitely be trying to, quote-unquote, figure it out by, you know, playing the right style of offense that best suits and best optimizes the starting lineup. And if they do that, then I don't see why they wouldn't be able to. But if they still sit here and try and experiment with all these like set plays and whatnot, I think that's where they're, you know, they might get caught trying a little bit too hard to experiment and force things that aren't there, especially given that, you know, the time frame here, 16 games left. And you're in one of the tightest playoff races in NBA history. You can't really afford to deviate from what you already know. Right. And so I think they just need to go for the playoffs and try and win using their best way. And honestly, like, they need to get that experience of playing in the first round against a top team and, you know, maybe getting swept or stealing a game or two. They just need to get that this year no matter what. And right. They can figure keep trying to figure out this whole thing later, I guess. I honestly think it's being a little bit blown out of proportion as well. The whole, you know, Millsap is causing Jokic to not play as well and whatnot. I think it's going to be a non-story here pretty soon.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think they'll be just fine. Right before he got hurt, I really thought they found that their stride and they were looking like one of the best teams in the league. And I think they'll get back, you know, maybe they won't be one of the best teams in the league, but I think they'll get back there and they'll get into their playoff run. I think they'll basically be hitting their stride right in time. You know, to get them into the playoffs, maybe even push them a few seats higher, you know, heck, even you know, they're still I mean, they're only 3.5 games back of Portland right now, who's in the 3 seed, so there's still plenty of time But obviously you're gonna have to make a move here soon. So I think that it's setting up nicely for that. I expect them to be in the playoffs. It's funny when they lose these back to back games. You know, suddenly everybody's way down on them, and they Nuggets are gonna make the playoffs. I don't even know if they're gonna win like seven or more games. It's just kind of that roller coaster, and then. Everybody will be much happier after they beat the Lakers. Jeremy, what about you, man? What do you think? Do Millsap and Jokic have enough time to get this figured out? And if they do, are they going to be? How dangerous does that make them in the playoffs?
Throw me in the camp that I think they already have it figured out. I think right now they have it figured out, and I think, like I was saying, we might even be able to draw a line from tonight forward that shows this is when these two got on the same page as far as the offense is considered. Because at the same time, it wasn't even a dominating performance from Jokic. One thing I liked, you know, his aggression has been all the talk the past week or two. Can he be more aggressive, and should he be shooting more? Can he be more aggressive in these ways? And I liked seeing that he was working really hard off the ball. He was showing more aggression in that way. I thought he did take some ill-advised threes this game, maybe kind of forcing something. Something actually that Malone said in his post-game interview last night was that he feels that Jokic is at the point now where I forget what he said exactly, but basically he's not paying attention to Paul Millsap as like the all-star and needing to cede to what he's doing. That Jokic is playing the way Jokic plays, and Millsap is just another tool on the court.
Right.
I don't know. There's a chance I might have said it better than he did, but so I think on the offense that we've got it figured out. I think the defense actually is all of a sudden the biggest question mark. And one thing that I saw in the Lakers game last night was we were doing terrible. So LA had 118.4 points per possession. That's in the 80th percentile. They shot 57.8 effective field goal rating. Like, that is going to be hard to beat a team that's doing that. But we were forcing them into so many turnovers. We were jumping lanes. We were stealing the ball. Jamal Murray actually played really well all around last night for a guy who's known for just scoring baskets. I thought his defense was pretty good, but not in the technical or traditional sense, and not necessarily even in the sense that Malone likes it. They're risking a lot by doing these things, by jumping the lanes, by putting on like hyper intensity. But by forcing turnovers, by stealing the ball, closing in on blocks, again, you'd maybe prefer the other team's field goal percentage to be low, force them into bad shots. But if you're getting turnovers and forcing bad decisions on their part, that might be a way that we can go forward. If we're going to be a team based on Jamal Murray and Gary Harris as our guards, we're never going to be able to lock down the perimeter the right way that you would expect a championship team to. And then especially if with Jokic as your core, you've got to think outside the box here. It puts a lot of pressure on the three and the four, but I think this strategy of whether it was Malone's intentional strategy or not, and actually I saw more of this at the start of the season, so maybe it is kind of built in, but jumping the lanes and putting pressure on the other team, putting that above trying to play solid wall defense, maybe we can see this really come together for not just Jokic and Millsap on defense, but the whole team.
Right. Yeah. No. That's an excellent point. And again, like we all kind of reiterating the same thing that it's more or less at this point, you just kind of take what you can get. I think on the defense and you just go from there. I tell you what, though, let's go ahead and. Let's go ahead and hit a break, and then when we come back, let's kind of take a look at the total playoff picture and what's happening there for the Nuggets. And then we will do a little NBA playoff trivia, pretty much focusing on the Nuggets in the Western Conference, to close out the show. So we will hit this break and we'll be right back. Hey everybody, I want to tell you about the charity drive we got going on right now at Denver Stiffs. We've teamed up with the Denver Nuggets, Hope Kids Colorado, and Hoopswag.com for a really cool event, and I think you guys will love it. Here's the deal. Over on our site right now, in the bottom right corner, you'll find a link where you can buy your own custom Denver Stiffs socks made by Hoopswag. There are 15 bucks a pair, and every pair you buy will also buy a ticket to an upcoming Denver Nuggets game for one of the children sponsored by Hope Kids. Hope Kids provides ongoing events, activities, and a powerful, unique support community for families who have a child with cancer or other life-threatening conditions. They surround those remarkable children and their families with the message that hope can be a powerful medicine. It's a great cause, and hey, if you like to run around barefoot like a hobbit, that's okay. There's also a link on the site where you can donate directly to help us bring as many kids and their families to one of these Denver Nuggets games. So check it out. DenverStiffs.com, and thanks so much for your generosity. All right, everybody, welcome back into the Pickaxe Pundit Show. I am Zach Mikosh. You're listening to Nothing But Net Radio. We're here with Jeremy Poli and Evan Fiala. We are all, of course, with DenverStiffs.com. As you guys heard on the promo there, I think you actually can't get socks anymore. I think it's all over. But we wanted to give a shout-out to everyone who donated to our Hope Kids charity event. That is going on tomorrow. We're really excited about it. Over 600 kids and their families will be attending the Denver Nuggets and Sacramento Kings game. All of these kids, of course, suffering from life-threatening diseases like cancer. Hope Kids giving them this opportunity to kind of get together, hang out, you know, try and obviously just get a few hours where they can just enjoy a basketball game and meet other people who are going through the same sort of things and kind of make those lifelong friendships that help you get through these tough times. So again, thank you to everybody who donated. A awesome cause. We blew away our original goals, and it just speaks to everybody's generosity. So from the bottom of our hearts, we could not be more grateful. All right, let's I'm coming down with laryngitis here, but let's move on here to the second half of the show. I want to get into the NBA playoffs. I mean, we'll pretty much probably spend every second half of the show talking about the playoffs and where the Nuggets stand from here on out. But particularly, I think this week, the first thing I want to look at or want to talk about was I thought that probably about maybe just a little bit before All-Star break, right around the trade deadline, I thought like, all right, at this point, their goal should be win the Northwest Division. That obviously was not the goal coming into the season, but it's right there. It's been right there for the taking the entire time. They've fallen a little bit back now, obviously, when they lost those two games in a row. Plus, Portland has been playing very well. And Portland's grown a little bit of a lead. Jeremy, I guess let me get your thoughts on this first. Do you think that there's still the Nuggets can still win the Northwest Division?
Oh man, this is the craziest playoff push. I thought last year was crazy.
Great.
I mean, just to set the stage, pretty much like everybody in the West won last night. So I still between Portland and three teams tied for 8th, 9th, and 10th there. There's only a four-game difference. And so since Portland is in our division, it definitely lends itself to this question. You know, the funny thing is, so yeah, do we have a chance? Yeah, we do. We're 3.5 games back from taking it. That's That's extremely right. doable, mathematically speaking. But the fact is, I think every single one of the teams in this division is a contender for that number three spot. I think they're all gunning right. for it. Utah, I think, is really scary. And in particular, they're scary to us. You brought it up earlier. We don't play them well. We don't match up well. They're a very, very good team, and they're only getting better, and they're only learning more about their own young identity. Very good team. Oklahoma City, say no more. When they get hot, they have so much talent that they can beat anybody on the right night. Minnesota was great. Who knows what could happen there with Jimmy Butler out? That's a big question. But before that question, they looked like they were pretty much locking up that number three spot. And Portland, right. 9-game winning streak. In all honesty, I don't think that Portland's going to win it. But they have a better chance than we do, right? So
right.
I don't think that we get it. But yeah, we do have a chance. We do have a chance.
Right. You're telling me there's a chance.
Yeah.
Portland now with the longest winning streak in the NBA with the Rockets.
That's right.
Losing last night to the Raptors. What about you, Evan? What do you think? I mean, how realistic is it to think that the Nuggets could still win the division?
I'm giving them like a 1% chance, maybe.
1%.
Yeah. Every other team is just so hot right now. Like the Trailblazers, they beat the Warriors pretty handily.
Right.
What's their streak at 9 now? 8 or 9 yep, or something. Yep. Yeah, they look.
It's at 9.
They look really good. The Wolves are still going to be good, especially now that they've got Derrick Rose. You know what I'm saying? the Thunder. I can't see Denver leapfrogging three of those teams, all while holding off the Jazz.
Right. Right, yeah, and that's kind of the hard part, too, is it's not just that they have to catch the Blazers, it's that they also have to stay in front of the Thunder and the Timberwolves and the Jazz. I can't believe, though, I mean, I can't believe nobody wants to bring up that, you know, NBA, former NBA MVP Derrick Rose is now with the Minnesota Timberwolves and how huge that signing is in the division.
Speaking of MVPs, can I just say that I loved the Nuggets last night honoring Nahara. He is MVP of effort. Yeah, that guy deserves like the all-time NBA effort award. I loved watching him just – he played more basketball, I think, on the floor, like laying on the floor scrapping than he did standing on his 2 feet. I love him.
That's fair. I remember later in his career, he just like randomly developed this this corner three, and then you know, he like knocked it down a couple times in preseason. And so, you know, George Karl being the way he was like, yeah, all right, shoot it. And it was like, man, wow, Nahara actually can do something other than just dive for loose balls on the floor and grab those rebounds.
Yep.
Yeah, it was cool. Obviously, the Nuggets doing their, I can't remember what they call it, but they're obviously their night celebrating Hispanic heritage. And obviously Nahara being, I think he, at the time he was at least the only player from Mexico, in the NBA. So obviously he was honored. Cool event by them. So back to the division conversation, like I think there's obviously right. There's a chance 3.5 games, anything can happen. You would expect Portland will cool off, Oh man, what was that? You expect Portland will cool off here in a little bit, but it's gonna be tough, man. It's gonna be tough. I hope they do it. I think they're still just they've got a plenty good chance of getting into a 4 seed or 5 seed, even a 6 seed, and avoiding the Warriors or the Rockets in the first round. But man, they've got a lot of road games against winnable teams, which that means that those are going to be games that are mostly just about being mentally prepared. And that's, I think, something that they have struggled with so far this season. So it's going to be interesting to see. They've got this little bit of time to figure it out. And if they do, you know, who knows? Maybe they do get hot and they get on a roll. Like I said, I think they could be hitting their stride right at the right time. So if they get on a good roll to close out the end of the season, they certainly could still capture the division. Evan, what about this, man? Let's say they don't do that. Are you kind of just satisfied, you know, if they just get into the playoffs is really that all that matters this season?
You know, I feel like I should be satisfied by that because 5 years is a long time to not,
right?
Especially after you go 10 straight years of making them, making the postseason. So, you know, in that regard, yeah, I'd be over the moon if they made the playoffs, but I also feel like the seventh or eighth seed is selling this team short. I think they're talented enough, even this year with how young most of their players are. I think they very well could and or should be at least a five seed, five or six. So I feel like on that regard, man, maybe my standards are a little high for a team that hasn't, you know, made the postseason. But
right,
just with the potential I see in them, even this year, then I'd be happy if they got in, but I think seeing, especially like that stretch where they were won like 7 of 9 or whatever, you could really see, okay, this team is cruising and that they belong up there in like the upper echelon of the Western Conference. And to see them not kind of reach what their potential is this season, I think it would still be a little bit disappointing.
Right. Yeah, no, I definitely agree. Like it's funny because I think at the beginning of the season, everybody would have just taken getting into the playoffs. But now that they're this close and they're right in the thick of it, and they've got a chance to be as high as a three seed, I think you naturally just want more. Jeremy, what about you, man? Would you be satisfied if they just get in the playoffs, or are you kind of with me and Evan in that, and you think they need to maybe try and get a little bit higher seed to really show where their potential is at?
Yes, I am actually just happy making it into the playoffs. To me,
All right.
I mean, it's been a while. I just want to taste that postseason basketball right now. But this season in particular, in the West, even making the 8th seed is like such an incredible achievement. It means you're so good. It's the equivalent of like a Final Four in March Madness or something like that. I like every one of our assistant coaches is going to be shopped around, like the big names, like, oh, can you believe they made 8th seed in the Western Conference last year? There's so much competition right now. To be able just to put ourselves in the playoffs is so much a bigger deal than it has been in any other playoff that I can remember. And it sounds like you're about to challenge me because you brought up playoff history, which I totally lied about. Anyway, we'll see when we get there.
I always like to catch you guys off guard with the trivia now. That is the plan. That way I look really smart because I don't ever have to answer the questions. I just get to ask them. I've set this game up to my in my advantage for sure. I guess let me ask you this, Jeremy. Gut feeling, do they get in or no?
Yeah, I think my gut's telling me to get in.
There you go. That's where I'm at too. I think, you know, I guess it's just a fan in me saying yes, they can do this. Evan, what about you, man? Gut feeling, are they gonna get in this year?
Yeah. Barely.
Right, yeah, that's kind of how I feel. Like, and because naturally, it'll be Nug life, right? So we have to be a little bit disappointed, at least. So if the Rockets end up as the 2 seed, the Nuggets end up as the 7 seed. Yeah, if the Rockets end up as the 1 seed, the Nuggets end up as the 8 seed.
We're destined to be swept by them.
Yeah, exactly. One way or another, it is going to be a sweep.
4 straight games of James Harden drawing fouls and et cetera. Yeah, so. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so not down for it. Like, I'm just not. I'll be so angry at every single game, and I'll just be yelling at my TV. And, It is what it is. All right, let's get into the final, the very final segment of our show, which is NBA playoff history, particularly the Northwest Division and the Nuggets. I got a full disclosure. I'm not fully prepared for the segment, so we're gonna make up some questions along the way. But we'll let it roll anyways.
Okay.
I'm gonna start with Evan. Evan, so as we've been talking about, man, the Northwest Division, crazy, right? Every single team has a shot to make it into the playoffs. The Denver Nuggets have played every single team in this Northwest Division at least once in the playoffs before. Who was the last team to beat them from the Northwest Division?
You're talking about in this season?
No, I'm talking about in the playoffs. Who was the last team to beat the Nuggets in the playoffs from the Northwest Division?
Utah.
That is incorrect. The Denver Nuggets lost to the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Oh, dang it.
In 2011. No one ever remembers that playoff series because that was the year they traded Melo. So it was like this weird, like random grouping of, you had some of the old guys like Kenyon Martin and J.R. Smith, along with obviously Gallo and Wilson Chandler and Mozgov.
They traded and then won like 23 of their last 30 games or something.
Right. Yeah. Right. They were so bummed about the whole Melo drama that when they finally just got rid of him, they ended up going on a win streak. And I think it was kind of like a George Karl's like middle finger to the league because he's like, "Yeah, I'll trade my star player and I'll watch it go playoffs and lose in the first round," like George Karl's also want to do. All right, so minus 1 point for Evan on that.
Close. You lose points even if you don't get it right.
I don't know. I mean, I'm making up the scoring system.
All right, that's fine.
What about second chance points?
Just for questioning it, minus 2 points for Evan now.
What is this, Harry Potter, man?
That's right. I'm taking points from House Gryffindor. I feel Evan. The Evans, you know, he's being rowdy. I think he's more of a House Slytherin kind of guy. Anyways, enough Harry Potter nerdom. The question now to Mr. Jeremy Pulley. Jeremy, who was the last team from this Northwest Division that the Denver Nuggets beat in the playoffs?
So this would be Melo. Who did Melo beat in the playoffs? Did we beat Oklahoma City? I bet you we beat Utah.
You gotta go way back for this one, I think.
Hey, no hints.
My guess is Utah.
His guess is incorrect.
Never beat Utah.
The last team to beat, or the Denver Nuggets beat from this Northwest Division was Oklahoma City. However, they were at that time called the Seattle Supersonics.
Oh.
And that, of course, is the famous 1994 Denver Nuggets 8th-seeded team who beat the number 1 seed.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
I can't believe you missed that one.
I could have sworn Melo. We had some deep dives into the playoffs with Melo. Surprised we didn't beat a Northwest team to get
there. We had one deep dive in the playoffs.
Was it only one?
It was only the one. Only the one. All right. Going back over to Evan, we'll stick in the Northwest Division. Evan, which team has Denver beaten, or I guess has won the most playoff series against in the playoffs from the Northwest Division? So which Northwest Division team have they beaten the most in their entire playoff history?
Seattle.
Boom. Evan is correct. Yeah. You are
nice.
Googling this. Yeah, I feel like
I'm not. You would have heard the typing.
Sure. That is correct. They have beaten Seattle twice in the NBA playoffs, of course, as we said.
I knew it was
19.
A low number, but...
Right, exactly. It wasn't very much. In 1994, as we said. And then the 1988 NBA playoffs, the Nuggets beat the Seattle Supersonics in the first round. They also lost to the Sonics in 1978. And then, of course, as we said, lost to them as the Oklahoma City Thunder. The answer to the questions every single time has so far been the Seattle Sonics / Oklahoma City Thunder franchise. I tried to make it easy for you guys, but you didn't see the theme. All right, now maybe I'll switch it up. I'm going to go back to Jeremy. Jeremy, which Northwest Division team have they lost to the most in their history in the playoffs?
Man, during Melo's day, it felt like Oklahoma City, but that would just keep your thread, your theme going, which you said you were going to divert from, which makes me think maybe way back in the day, like Malone and Stockton in Utah, but I don't feel like the Nuggets were making it to the playoffs during those days. I'm going to keep the theme going. I'm going to keep the theme going and go with Oklahoma City.
No.
You are incorrect. First of all, Melo has never played Oklahoma City in the playoffs, so I don't know where that's coming from.
Ouch.
to be honest with you.
When did you become another fan, Jeremy? Yeah.
he's a closet Sixers fan. We knew it this whole time. Evan was right. It is the Utah Jazz. Utah Jazz have beaten the Denver Nuggets three times in the playoffs. They beat them in the 1984-85 1983-84 playoffs. Then they beat them in the 1993-94 playoffs. That, of course, right after the Nuggets beat the Supersonics, they played the Jazz in the second round, almost made history again, came back from 3-0 down to force a game 7, but lost. And then Utah, and what I say was the biggest disaster of a playoff for the Denver Nuggets, they beat them in the 2010 playoffs with Adrian Dantley
The helm
while George Karl is recovering from cancer.
He made me mad.
All right, so Jeremy, you've been abysmal. I got one more question for you, for you guys, and then that'll be the end of our show. So there are in the Western Conference, there are 9 other teams in the NBA who are vying for NBA playoff spot. The Denver Nuggets have lost. And I'll give it to whichever one of you guys can say it first. The Denver Nuggets have lost to every single team still vying for a spot in the Western Conference playoffs, except for one. Which team is that?
Minnesota?
Wrong. Minnesota beat the Denver Nuggets in 2003-2004. That was Carmelo Anthony's rookie year.
Portland.
Wrong. The Portland Trail Blazers beat the Denver Nuggets in 1977. Back when they only played 2 rounds. The correct answer would be, of course, well, actually, they have never lost to Houston because they've never played. Wait. Wrong. They lost to the Houston Rockets in the 1986 Western Conference Semis. The correct answer is the New Orleans Pelicans. Denver has only played them once when they were the New Orleans Hornets. And they won that series 4-1.
Really bad.
They won one game by like 56 points or something like that.
That was a good game.
Chris Paul was last.
That was like basically the end for Chris Paul in New Orleans. After that, he knew it was all over. All right, so that that is our show. As you can tell, I'm losing my voice, so we must be done. You're gonna want to make sure you follow us all on Twitter. I'm at Zach Mikosh. Evan is at EE Fiala. And Jeremy is at Jeremy Poli. You guys are all very easy with your Twitter names on this one. We are, of course, at Denver Stiffs and then at NBN-Radio. Follow us on Instagram at the Denver Stiffs and over on Facebook. Give us a follow and give us a like. If you guys are listening to the podcast version of this show, go ahead and subscribe. Give us a rating on iTunes. We would appreciate it. All right, Evan, Jeremy, appreciate you guys being on.
Thanks.
All right, everybody, we will talk to you next week.